This recording is a production of the Conservative Anabaptist Education Committee. This presentation was recorded at Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute 2022, held at Horizon Mennonite School in Hagerstown, Maryland, on March 4 and 5.
May the Lord be with us and help us as we look at this topic and time together. I was in the previous one where there was a good bit of open discussion, and when the assignment was given to me, it was given as a workshop with an invitation to that, and so I'm going to at least continue somewhat the format that we had in the previous session here with the forum. I enjoyed that very much. Like to begin and simply ask the Lord's blessing on our being together. Raymond, would you pray for us?
Lord, we come to you. We thank you for your goodness to us today. Thank you for the opportunity to sit together with men of faith and thinking about issues of school and pastoral responsibility. I pray you would bless Nathan as he shares in our discussion today. I pray it might be beneficial, upbuilding. That benefit would be to you, your glory, and your kingdom. We thank and praise in Jesus' name.
Yeah. Amen. There was no scripture text given. Usually when I have a topic, or certainly a message, there's got to be a portion of scripture to use as a springboard, and there wasn't one assigned to me. But... The whole idea of opportunities and seizing on them, the title here is Opportunities for Pastoral Influence in a School. But isn't pastoring just plain an opportunity? It's an incredible opportunity, really, I think. Sunday after Sunday, God gives us the opportunities to influence, to teach, to instruct. And those opportunities are valuable. Now, this is, of course, directed towards school. I wondered how you look at the word opportunity. In your mind, maybe it's a misnomer. Do you consider it an opportunity to have to oversee school or be involved in school problems or the things of that nature? Maybe the title would be more accurate, the adversity of pastoral influences, or the challenges, or the obligation to, or whatever. But if you don't see it as an opportunity, I hope I can inspire you to see being a pastor as a tremendous opportunity in the school. The verse that did come to mind is from Proverbs 27, where the proverb writer says, "Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds." And I hope that we can consider the school as that, as an opportunity to impact. Somebody has said, and I heard it just recently, that your school, and I don't know how many bishops we have here, I'm assuming most of us are on a ministerial team, but this person made this statement that your school will have a greater impact on the future of your church than you will. He even went so far as to say your high school teacher, your principal, has a much profounder impact on where your church will be 30 years from now than what you do. And while I understand that, in fact, I agree with it. I agree with it wholeheartedly. I have been on both sides of that fence, and for the most part, simultaneously. I was ordained to the ministry 3 months after I started teaching. I had stepped out of some other responsibilities to lessen the load, only to 3 months into teaching, be ordained. and I taught for the next 9 years that way, and found it to be very unique. Sometimes I felt a little sorry for the students. They listened to me 5 days a week in school, and then they had to on Sunday yet. But the other side of that is the opportunity that it offered was often deeply humbling to me. Parents get up and dash about and get their children breakfast and off to school, and they bring them in and dump them off in your classroom. And I had the opportunity to impact those lives for the next 6 hours or 7 hours. And that, like I said, that's profound. Of course, the parents could undermine or alter that, but the opportunity is huge. What I want to do, or what I thought we would do here, I'd like to populate a list, and then I have some ideas that I want to share as well. But in what way, what opportunities do we as pastors have in influencing the school? Let's make a list. Let me make it practical. In fact, I want to be practical. We can talk about philosophies and so on, but I'm looking at some hands-on things that we as pastors can do to make a difference in the school. You go. What should we put on the list?
So in our community, the pastoral board determines the school board slate.
Okay.
Pros and cons to that.
I like that. That's one I didn't have on my list. I'll leave that for discussion later. We do that during our church reorganization, but usually it has some background direction to it. But yeah, that's interesting. Okay, very good. Another one.
Our school, not just the pastors, but the pastors have the opportunity to teach some Bible classes sometimes.
Okay. So teach some, yeah. Actually filling in, I'm just going to put down teach classes.
Opportunities for being substitute.
Okay, pastors can substitute. When I talk and write at the same time, my spelling quality diminishes. So if I don't get it spelled quite right, then you forgive me, okay? Next.
Offer school devotion services.
Okay, school devotions.
Shaping the attitudes of the church towards education and towards school through sermons.
Okay, can we put that into two words? I like that. That's a key one. That was kind of my number one. I'm going to put down shaping.
Preach vision or shape vision.
The thing of attitude is so important. I'm going to include that wording.
Influence curriculum choices.
How are you going to do that? Excellent.
The way our school runs, we have a 5-man board, mm-hmm. and then we have principal, sits in the meeting but doesn't have a vote, and ministerial representative sits in the meeting but doesn't have a vote. So the board makes the decisions, but we had a voice of the school and a voice of the church. We would give input on the discussion before the final decision is made, which I think is beneficial. It also helps just keep open communication between what's happening in school and the church leadership.
Excellent opportunity. Representative on the board.
Sounding board for advisory. If the board needs some advice, which I think is the same thing you were saying earlier about rep on the board, having their backs.
I'd like to just capitalize on that one, the having their backs. I think there's room for a pastor, for the pastors to be a particular support to the board, and maybe even particularly the chairman. I'd like to just spend a few minutes on that. Actually, I'm just going to leave that one, and then we'll broaden out on it.
Maybe an opportunity for a pastor to get involved in somebody with somebody who's searching or hurting that's revealed through the school. Maybe.
Okay. let's call it needy parents. I'm just going to summarize it as that. To help with that. Or it could be various situations. Well,
those of us who were in the large school discussion just recently here in the last session, there was some discussion on whether it's the school's problem to deal with a non-supportive family or whether it's the church's problem in a church-run school. So maybe that's with number 10, but who's largely responsible, the school board or the pastors, and who is coming to the school?
And dealing with
troubled homes.
Okay, troubled homes. And the simple truth of the matter is we have those, don't we? We have those. I'm sad to admit that in various communities and schools that we have visited, one thing that comes up is we have this situation with this one home, the children, you know, and it just goes from there, right? yeah.
Learning how to delegate and raising leaders in our school.
Okay. Are you implying that the pastors may be partially responsible for the lack of teacher availability? I think that's true. I really think that's true. Let's capitalize on a few of these. This first one, how are your school boards elected, your school board members?
I believe at some of you, the ministry puts one person on the slate, the school board puts one person on the slate, and then the church puts one person on the slate, and then we vote between three as a church.
Interesting.
And if y'all three put the same person on the slate, there's an election.
So I assume there's a is this for like for at your reorganization night?
Yeah, so beforehand the school board gives a name, the minister meeting gives a name, and then you take one name from the church.
Just. Okay. Interesting.
The church is given the school board responsibility to, well, the church gives nominees, and then the school board interviews them, and then sort of on it.
School board and the ministry come with a slate of the church.
I just think those are good ideas. That we would do something similar to that. We usually ask the school board for ideas or suggestions. The truth of the matter is our church isn't very big, and we did an outreach, and kind of the middle group of families went to Fincastle, and so we ended up with good, there's good parents there, but either their children are out of school or their children are not in school yet. And for a while we had a school board, and we have a three-man board, and then there's a minister rep and a principal. And those three dads, none of them had children in school. And that to me is not ideal at all. I know from my own experience, and they're doing a great job, and now they have children in school. It changed in the last year. But I've often said, when I was principal of the school a number of years before I either taught or had children in school, and after I had children in school, I went back to our student handbook and rewrote some of it as principal. There were things that came up after I had children in school that I had never seen before, as I was a young, ambitious father. But it's an entirely different dynamic when children come home from school and they have stories about the teacher and things, you know, it's just different. And so it's valuable if your school board has, if they have children in school, it's not always possible. Anything else on the first one that somebody wants to capitalize on?
We just take nominations and vote on that, but then we have the whole ministry sitting on the school board as well.
Okay, so the whole ministry is on the school board. Interesting. At our school, if that happens, you know there's trouble. If the ministry is all called together for the board meeting. I'm going to jump ahead here. I think this one here, to me, is kind of a bullseye, or is baseline, very, very important, maybe kind of a primary. And I wonder, I'm sure the pastors that are here today are here because you want to be, and I trust that all of you are taking an interest in school and so on, and have a vision for it and a right attitude. The truth of the matter is that's, especially perhaps historically, has not always been the case. It just isn't that way. And occasionally I've been in schools where it still isn't. The school function is left to the school board, and sometimes there's school board members that simply bide time until they're in and 3 years later are out, and the school just kind of operates on autopilot. And so you go to the pastors, and he has more important things to do. His job is to preach, and he has meetings to attend and whatnot. The school's kind of a back burner issue. It's just a huge problem. I would like to suggest that the vision of Christian education, of training the next generation, of passing on the faith and so on, should just plain be front and center for us as pastors. And You know, there's just many examples of, you know, there's issues in the, especially where dad and pastor are the same person. You know, I couldn't get that when I went to school either, and it's really not important. I never did understand why they taught vocabularies in school. Those new words are just a pain, you know. We don't need them. Maybe we should teach them that it was vocabulary. But it is our opportunity to it can come across in messages, or maybe let's just open it up. How do we as pastors set the stage, project the vision, encourage an attitude of the value of learning and so on?
By example, number one.
Okay.
Be involved.
By example.
Show that you really value school.
That is just so important. And many of these are example oriented, aren't they? Are you willing to take to teach classes? Are you willing to substitute? I had the opportunity to substitute yesterday, and I'm not very proud of it. I didn't take it because I was getting ready to come here. I was kind of torn between being here and staying home to make so that two of the others could be here. But there was both a pastor board rep and school board chairman that came yesterday, and I came today. But be that as it may, yes, are we willing to be involved, take an interest in? Any other ideas on that?
One thing that helps the perspective is if you can address the underlying mentality of why we do school. Mm-hmm. I've already expressed where we want to do high school so you get a good education so you can have a good job, make a good income. But if you break that down, it's actually fairly materialistic.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And if we're going to take that approach, we don't need vocabulary or whatever.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of things that we don't need to learn in school. You're not going to be able to necessarily pull a paycheck because you know what a dangling participle is, etc. But it is part of being people of excellence and shaping you and helping you to have the capacity to be effective wherever God calls you. He calls you to Iraq to teach English or etc. We're equipping our people to serve, and it's about developing a person and helping them have a baseline education so they can understand how amazing God is and some of the things he's done in science, etc. And so if we can help shape that, I think it can help people see the value. We're just looking at is we just need to get through this so we can get a good job.
Having said all of that, I do want to bring a perspective into this here. I've already in preaching on the home, some of you have heard me say this, but if you take a triangle like this here, and we have the school and the home and the church, I've already taken that triangle and turned it and say, which way is this, which is the New Testament model? The home on top, church and school, school on top, home and church, or church on top, home and school. And that's an interesting discussion all its own. But the world turns it with the school on top. They're saying the answer to this world's problems is education. If we just throw enough money at the schools, if we pay our teachers right, we can get rid of crime, we'll raise up character people and so on. Do you know what? It doesn't work. Never has, never will. That's the world's model. And so I want to be careful as I promote this thing of taking an interest in promoting a vision for, let's not get it off, let's keep it in balance. This is in perspective with the whole of passing on our values to the next generation and training up a generation for Christ, not for education as the answer to the world's ills. It's not. And so we need to keep that in perspective. Let's go on to a few other ideas. Let's look at this one here. The school devotions. I don't know how your school does it. We have two mornings a week that somebody comes in, and it has morphed through the years. Monday morning, we always have somebody come in for devotions, but it is somebody other than the board or the minister. And so Monday morning is by other lay brothers and for devotional time. And Wednesday morning, particularly in yesteryear, we called it chapel, maybe more like Bible class. And the idea behind that was, number one, to get our ministers into school more regularly than just every whatever. How many dads do you have in school? You know, 20, 30? And so it comes around once or twice a year, and that's all. And so for years, we as a pastoral team, there's three of us, four of us, and we took turns every Wednesday morning going in for devotions. Well, that came around real regular. So we morphed that just a bit, and today the ministers and board members take turns on Wednesday morning and the rest of the laity on Monday morning. But the idea is it's simply to get the ministers into the school on a more regular basis to interact with. And I'd like to encourage something like that. Now, maybe that it may overlap with teaching Bible class. I've been in schools where the Bible class was used as a devotional time. That's fine. I have no problem with that. In fact, somebody has asked, what's the point of school devotions? Don't our children just have breakfast and devotions at home before they come to school? Perhaps in yesteryear, I don't know how many of your children have a family devotion before they come to school. I'm going to guess that it's diminishing. But even then, there's a reason for a devotional time at school. But I'd like to make just a bit of a case for the pastors that come in to use that time to preach a message. Didn't say it had to be an hour long. Stay within your time. 15 minutes, 12 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever you have. Don't run over time. That infringes on the teacher's time. But give the students some meat to chew on. Don't just read a Sally, Dick, and Jane story with a good moral. Teach. Teach a Bible doctrine. Teach a Bible doctrine on students' level. And that's why I dared use the word preach. Preach at them. But preach on a child's level. But utilize that time for a as an instructional. Maybe somebody wants to counter that. I'll open it for discussion. Yes.
So with kindergarten through 12th, how do you do that?
And that's the norm, I think, in most schools. At least it is in ours. Everybody is there.
You can make it practical.
Right.
When you have children's lessons at church in the auditorium, you know the adults all get a lesson too. Mm-hmm. So I'm both the principal and the minister, but I know from teaching students at school, I try to hit on the lower level, not always first grade level, but I know that if I'm touching the third to fifth graders, the older ones are getting the lesson from it.
Right.
I know not every adult that comes into school to teach or to have a devotional knows how to handle that. But I would say rather stick on the lower level, the older ones are getting the lesson.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is an opportunity, sometimes maybe schools should look at having a chapel for the older half of the school and the younger half of the school, that works too. I would use the ministry could get in more often than maybe.
I'm not sure if I always use an object lesson, but I usually try to. And when I do that, I can usually get the attention of the younger ones.
Right.
But then I try to take that and morph it into something that the the high school students can also, there's a lesson there that they can also glean from.
Right, that they can chew
on. Maybe the younger ones don't totally understand the concept, but they've got the picture and the mental vision of this object lesson, and the teenagers then get the lesson behind it.
And I don't feel like the entire session needs to be all for the high school, all for the first graders. It can vary. You can easily crumble some of that up so the for the first graders, and then continue to challenge the upper graders too. There's that potential.
The story is also very powerful. It sticks well. So parables, stories.
Stories, parables, that kind of thing is valuable. Is the idea of a rep on the board, is that pretty universal? Everybody here have that on your board, pretty much? Okay. I was just going to highlight it. We haven't always done it, but we have for many years now. But I just think that's very important. And at our ministers' meeting, that's the first item on the agenda, every ministers' meeting. I say first item, obviously. I mean, we pray and whatnot. But I mean, maybe the first agenda item is a brief school report from the school rep to the ministers. And that's a fairly recent factor. And the reason we do that, we've had just a few issues where the ministry was pulled into some school issues. And from that, we said, well, it would be a lot easier to speak into those issues if the rest of the ministerial team was kept more current. And for nearly three decades, I was that person, and so it didn't hit me that there was a need until after I was no longer principal. All of a sudden, I realized what kind of a vacuum the ministry is in if they don't have a regular, they don't have children in school. And yeah, there's a ministerial rep on the board, and they benefit from it, but we need it too. And so that's first agenda on our minister's item. I think it's time well spent. Just like a 10-minute report of what's current in school, if there's issues, problems, school, children or parents that they're particularly dealing with. I think it's been very valuable. I think oftentimes the school board wants to hear from that representative, and it's very reasonable for him to say, but I'd like to take this back to the team, and next meeting we'll give you a perspective on it. Goes without saying that representative will be a much more effective and a greater blessing if there's a good working relationship and attitude and bonding and that kind of thing on that board. He shouldn't be there as a spy or as a you know, whatever. It's got to be part of a team for that to work well. Which one would you like to look at?
We might need a little input on the troubled homes. Troubled homes, needy parents, et cetera.
That shows itself out in a variety of ways, and I'm not sure the brother that suggested that, but oftentimes if there's the common word is dysfunctional. There's a dysfunctional home. Usually, it shows itself out in just unique ways. What do you do when a child comes to school, and this happened just a couple days ago, a second grader. And she pulled she usually only has two things in her lunch, and she pulled it out, and here it was sour cream, and she thought she had packed tapioca, or whatever it was. I think it was spoiled even, whatever. And so she had no lunch. So my daughter gave her lunch, and she waited till supper time. But from a home where mom, I'm not sure why and how it is, but mom doesn't pack the lunch. Children, they can get up and raid the fridge, or if they get something, fine. If they don't, fine. And Usually they'll either have maybe an apple or maybe a little dish of something that they find themselves. I can hardly comprehend that. But it's a very, I don't know if I put it in a troubled home situation. Actually, they're kind of a happy couple and whatnot. So when do we intervene? When do we say, look, Mom, pack your child a good lunch, you know? You preach over a pulpit, hopefully here. You go to them and tell them how to pack lunch. What are your thoughts? That's right.
Talking about lunch, what about breakfast too?
Yeah.
I mean, we had a family where we were, I don't think currently we are, but I mean, for several years we would, like one family take the lunch boxes home and pack lunches. And then another week, another family take lunch boxes home and pack.
You mean for a family? That?
For another family.
Oh, wow.
That works for a while, that is just hardly sustainable. There's no good sustainable answer.
Why didn't they?
The answer is they're open to it. Now that family, that's one less thing I have to do, so yeah, I'll go ahead and do it. A little bit of a dependency issue there too, but I don't know if that works in every case. Some would be offended if you offered to pack your children's lunch for them. Maybe some wouldn't be, but we did do that for a couple of years, anyhow.
Yeah.
Back to the question you had. We had for years going by, we had a brother that, this was a school related, but a brother that came to church and became converted. Community man came, and his wife looked at us as a cult. And the church there, we had a policy that no mustaches. So for the sake of his wife looking at us as a cult, we allowed him to keep his mustache in that case, and still become a member. Because we were sensitive to her looking at us. And there came a time where she actually joined him in services. Things like that, when you get, you know, and you feel like you're getting pitted, you know, you want to help them, and out of the goodness of your heart, you feel like you should help, but then they feel threatened because you're taking, you know, you're invading in time and love, and more time and more love.
That ties to an area here that I really do want to just highlight yet. And that's the whole thing of supporting your teachers. I think ministers are in a key position to support teachers. The teachers, have them into your home, relate with them, form a bond there where they know, the teachers feel your support. And do we have visiting school on here? That's one that I had on my notes. But either by visiting school, by having the teachers in your home, whatever it takes, but make sure the teachers know that you have their back, you care what happens in school, you want their good, their welfare. So important. And another aspect of support, we had a situation in our school in the past year where there was a parent who they called for a meeting with this parent, and he just chewed the, it was a, I forget who was there, a chairman, minister rep, and principal, I think, were at the meeting with this father, and he took the occasion to set them all in their place and trim things down to what he considered size. And we as a ministry took pains, if you please, to make sure the school board knew that we were on their side, not on their side, I hate to use the word sides, but that we were supporting where they stood and the work they were doing and the and so on. Sometimes the work of a school board can literally be spiritual warfare. I mean, it can be tough. And for them to know that the ministry is in solid support, and if not in support, to give direction to, but that you can support and stand with, so important.
Trust is a huge key. Trust.
Trust is a huge key.
You can't do it without, and you know, people have to trust us, and we have to trust them.
That's right.
In order to start forming a relationship, but then that trust is strong enough to chart our waters of having each other's backs in those difficult times.
And because there will be difficult times, there will be challenges. I'd like to just close with an encouragement to us as pastors to use the, you have a position of influence. You publicly speak time and again. Drop tidbits of appreciation for the board, for school, for the value of education and so on. And in visiting school and in doing that, you can have a positive influence on your school. God bless you. You're just-